I'm Victoria Shepherd for WILL, and this is the Mid-American Gardener Podcast, where we love to talk about anything connected to gardening in central Illinois. In this episode, which is episode 16, I chatted with Jim Appleby, entomologist and retired associate professor in the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Sciences at the University of Illinois. As you would expect from an entomologist, Jim loves insects and mites and is particularly interested in the life histories of these creatures. He's also one of our fabulous panelists on the Mid-American Gardener television show. And be sure to keep listening to the end of this podcast, because Jim gave me some invaluable information after we stopped recording. Hello and welcome, Jim.
Hello.
How are you doing today, Jim?
I'm doing very, very well.
Given your area of interest, and because it's actually come up in conversation I had with someone recently.
Yes.
Obviously, I didn't know the answer. I thought it might be useful to focus this episode on the subject of some dead trees that are apparently popping up throughout the Midwest at the moment. By any chance, do you have an idea of what I'm talking about?
I think I do. It depends on what kind of trees you're talking about. If you're talking about pine trees, and that's probably what you're seeing, dead pine trees.
Ah, the infamous pine wilt disease.
Yes, and that's been very, very common. If you travel throughout the Midwest, along the interstates, you see dead pine trees. You see them in cemeteries, in parks, along streets, in home garden settings. So it's a very, very common problem.
Okay, so let's call this episode Pine Wilt Disease 101.
Fine.
First of all, what, in layman's terms, is pine wilt disease?
Well, it's a condition, because the organism that causes that is a nematode, a very small worm-like creature that's about a 1/30 of an inch in length that causes this condition called pine wilt. Once these nematodes get into the tree dies.
So the pinewood nematode.
Yes.
What is the life cycle of one of these things?
Well, it's very interesting. Longhorn beetles, and we have quite a few different longhorn beetles in the Midwest. The one that's a primary carrier of this nematode is the Carolina pine sawyer. This beetle is about an inch in length, brown in color, and has light tan markings on the wings. And in its spiracles, that's the holes along the inner sides of the insect, along the thorax and abdomen, are these nematodes. They invade these spiracles, these little openings.
Is that how they breathe?
Well, that's how an insect breathes. And you wonder how that insect can breathe, because these nematodes are packed in there. In fact, one beetle can contain as many as 15,000. So they're really packed in these spiracles. And then when the beetle feeds on pine trees, particularly on tender shoots of the pine, the nematodes leave the beetle's body and invade the feeding wound. And once they get into the wound area, then they multiply very, very rapidly in the tree, and the tree can be dead within a year's time.
Oh, so the beetles are eating the tree, and then the nematodes that were being carried on the beetles then go into the wound that was created.
That's correct. That's correct. So they actually are in they don't really carry them. They're actually inside the breathing pores of the beetle. And the conditions had to be just ideal. When the foliage is wet or the twig is wet, then the nematodes leave the body. If it's not wet, then they don't leave. So, you know, not in every case would you get transmission to the tree.
So they're attracted to damp atmospheres or environments.
Well, the nematodes somehow or other consents that this is the ideal condition to leave the beetle's body.
Okay. Now, does it affect all pine trees? I'm guessing that it only occurs in pine trees, right? Not other types of trees.
Well, it occurs occasionally in non-pine trees, but it really doesn't cause mortality. Where it really causes mortality is in pine trees. In certain pine trees, particularly Scotch pine, that's the one that you find the most commonly infected is the Scotch pine. So it affects Scotch, red, and Austrian pine, and Mugo pine. Those are the ones that are most drastically affected.
Now, are there any varieties of pine trees that are not susceptible to PWD?
Yes. White pine is much less susceptible. So we know that. And Jeffrey pine, that's a pine in the western states, is very, very resistant. But here in the Midwest, I would say probably white pine. But it does get occasionally white pine does come down with pine wilt disease, but it's rare.
Now, what are some of the signs or symptoms to watch out for if you think your tree might be suffering from pine wilt disease?
Well, the symptoms are generally the off color. So the pine needles have sort of a grayish-green color. Mm-hmm. And you can just tell. You compare that tree with another nearby tree, and you can see that the needles are definitely an off color. Then eventually the needles will turn a brown color, and then the tree is dead. The needles are retained, even though the pine tree is dead. The pine needles will be retained on the branches.
Oh, so they don't fall off then?
Not right away. They will fall off generally the following year.
Okay. But if the needles are brown, your tree is probably...
It's not going to make it.
As a quick reminder, you're listening to the Mid-American Gardener podcast, which is available for streaming at midamericangardener.org. This and past episodes are also available through Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and the NPR One app. If you haven't done so already, please do subscribe, review, and rate with abandon. Getting your feedback will help us improve what we're doing and give you information that is not just useful, but entertaining. Now back to the podcast.
Okay, so that was my next question. Can the tree be saved once it's been diagnosed with PWD?
No, once it shows those symptoms, you're just out of luck. The tree will eventually die. There's just no cure. Now, there are some materials, nemicides, that can be used to treat the tree. But you have to have that in the tree before you have an attack by the beetle.
Oh, so you're sort of, it's a preventative
thing. It's a preventative. So if you have a very, very valuable tree in your yard or street tree that you really think is extremely important, you can have a commercial arborist treat the tree with a tree injection.
So is that a chemical then?
It is a chemical, but that has to be done by a professional. So you have to hire an arborist to do that. And the material is called abamectin. It's spelled ABAMECTIN. And that will actually prevent them, kill the nematodes before they have a chance to multiply in the tree.
And it won't harm the tree if it is not suffering from a condition.
That's right. Once it shows symptoms, then you're out of luck. So you have to use this as a preventative.
Okay, so, and if people want to get an arborist in, they should be looking for a certified arborist,
they should,
right?
Be,
and
yes. That,
I presume this, it would be on someone's website.
I think so, yes.
Okay. So, are there any organic methods to treat this?
There really is not at the present time, no organic method.
So really, you just have to get your chainsaw out, chop it down, and start again.
Yes. It's best just not to plant those susceptible pines in your landscape. So certainly don't be planting Scotch, red, and Austrian pines and Mugel pines in the landscape to avoid this problem.
Now, that said, if people want to have an evergreen in their garden, are there some evergreens that would be suitable that people can look out for if they like the look of the pine but they don't want to put a pine in?
A very good comment. And yes, there definitely are some pine trees or evergreen trees, not necessarily pine trees, but evergreen trees. First of all, I would say white pine, but you have to be very careful with white pine. They get very, very large. Be very, very big, so you can't...
So in the city, for an individual garden, it's probably not...
Probably not very recommended, the white pine. But there are other plants, evergreens, like Douglas fir. Douglas fir is a beautiful tree. Now, it will get large as well. And then concolor fir is another beautiful fir.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one called canna fir. It's spelled C-A-N-A-A-N fir.
Okay.
It's a Christmas tree-like. In fact, it's used in the Christmas tree industry extensively. That's a beautiful tree.
And how tall does that grow?
Well, you know, it probably gets to be maybe 50, 60 feet, which is pretty good size.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, again, you wouldn't want to plant that aside of the, you know, the foundation of your home. You'd want to go quite a ways out. There's other things like Black Hill spruce,
mm-hmm.
Norway spruce, arborvitae. Those are all evergreens that I've mentioned that would be suitable replacement for the Scotch, red, and Austrian pines and Mughal.
Okay, so what we're going to do, I will include information on all of these things that Jim is talking about, as well as a photograph that Jim took that gives a perfect example of what pine wilt looks like. But if people wanted more information on pine wilt disease, where can they go? Is there a University of Illinois resource they can use?
Well, they could go to their University of Illinois Extension mm-hmm. and get information on pine wilt disease, or there's a lot of information on the web.
Well, what I'll do is I'll also include a link to the University of Illinois Extension information that they have. That was Lesson 101. This is hopefully going to be very useful to people out there. Jim, if you could be a devastating insect of any kind, what would you be and why?
Probably the emerald ash borer, because I have plenty of trees to feed on, and there's just plenty of ash around. And then eventually, I don't know what will happen. Maybe they'll become extinct because they're killing all the ash trees. They won't have anything to eat on or feed on.
You would like to be extinct?
An example, you'd like to be extinct, but it could happen. It could happen eventually.
But for the moment, Jim would like to be an emerald ash borer because he can chew on a lot of trees.
Everywhere there's ash.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Jim, for coming in.
Okay.
This has been wonderful. We will get that information out. Many thanks to you, our listeners, for joining us for another episode of the Mid-American Gardener podcast. Mid-American Gardener is a production of Illinois Public Media. This episode was produced and hosted by me, Victoria Shepherd. Executive producer was Lisa Braltz. Find us on the web at midamericangardener.org, where you can stream us as many times as you like. And if you have any gardening questions for future inclusion on either the TV show or podcast, email us at yourgarden@gmail.com. Message us via Facebook or call and leave us a voicemail at 217-300-8224. Thanks again to Jim Appleby, and I'll be back in a couple of weeks with another gardening whiz. Until then, here's to staying nematode-free. So Jim contacted me after we stopped recording and wanted me to share some additional information with you. It's important to note that as soon as a pine tree dies, it should be removed to ground level and the wood immediately converted to chips or logs and branches burned. This will prevent nematode-infested beetles emerging from the tree that could feed on healthy pines and further spread the infestation. Thank you, Jim, for that additional information.